Hello and welcome to the Gospel Points Podcast, where the gospel is the point. I'm your host, Kevin Thompson. Thanks for joining us today. It's been a couple weeks since we've been on, but my life has been kind of hectic. But we are back now, and of course it's spring break for me, and this is the day before Easter, so we're going to be talking about the resurrection today on our special Easter edition of the Gospel Points Podcast. But before that, let's get all our secular stuff out of the way first, and let's talk about our weekly Twitter poll. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin J. Thompson, at Kevin J. Thompson. You can be participating in these polls. Our poll this week, favorite Easter candy. The choices are Peeps, Cadbury Eggs, Jelly Beans, or Chocolate Bunny. And the winner is... Well, we have a three-way tie between Peeps, Cadbury Eggs, and Chocolate Bunny. No one picked Jelly Beans. I don't understand why that is. Jelly Beans are awesome. Starburst kind, the best. But no one picked them. And Peeps, gotta say, not liking the Peeps. Never been a huge chocolate fan. So Cadbury Eggs. I am picking Cadbury Eggs as the tiebreaker. And so Cadbury Eggs is... But we're going to ask our guest that here in a few minutes. So speaking of our guest, we're talking with Pastor Jeremy Scott, been a friend of mine for many years. And we are talking about the resurrection. This is Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. And the resurrection is oftentimes something we don't hear about except maybe once a year. So we're going to talk about the importance of the resurrection. All right, we're on the phone with Pastor Jeremy Scott. Pastor Scott is at Memorial Baptist Church in Verona, Wisconsin. Jeremy, welcome to Gospel Points.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be with you today.
Well, I should say welcome back. You were on the program a couple years ago, and we felt like enough time had passed where the damage has been done, and you can come back and maybe recreate some damage. But anyway,
you did a good job of controlling that damage, so that's good.
Well, we're talking about the resurrection. As we record this, it's the day before Easter, and we intended to record this earlier, but a lot of different things came up, and so I'm thankful that you can give us the time here. So let's just jump right in, and let's start off with a real basic question, just about the resurrection in general, because there are some, and I feel like even within evangelical Christianity, where the resurrection is certainly important, but it's almost as if, did it really need to happen? You know, because we all agree that Jesus was, you know, a great moral teacher who inspired millions of people, even today. Even if he never rose from the dead, his reputation lives on within our hearts, and his mark on humanity will forever be there. So is the resurrection necessary?
Yeah. Well, it's the, as Greg Gilbert says in one of his books, the resurrection is the hinge on which Christianity turns. It's the fundamental, most important day on the Christian calendar, I think. There's a lot of reasons for that. There's some theological reasons, some practical reasons. Practically, he said he would rise again.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mark 9, he did that. So if he didn't rise again, then he was making promises he couldn't keep. And so just on a very practical level of who Jesus is, it's important that he rose again because he said he would, and he followed through on that. So that's important that it happened. You know, it brings to mind the argument C.S. Lewis first put out there, then Josh McDowell kind of popularized a little bit more so in recent history with in his book More Than a Carpenter, of Lord, Liar, or Lunatic.
Right.
McDowell borrowed that from Lewis. And really, you only have three options there. So if he really was the moral person that people say he was, and he didn't rise from the dead, then he really wasn't that moral person that people said he was, because here he is, he's giving hope to masses, and he's leading people, he's making promises, and if he doesn't follow through on what he says that he's going to do, and what is the plan of God, his Father, then he's not a moral person at all.
Right.
He's leading people astray. I think, you know, 1 Corinthians 15 comes to mind theologically why this is so important, of, you know, Paul there writing to Corinthians says, if Christ isn't risen, our preaching, our faith, everything we have is worthless. It's in vain what we're doing. And so yeah, this is huge. And I think that we get a glimpse of that, of how important this is, with Thomas, because you remember he doubted, and unfortunately he's known as Doubting Thomas. And I always felt bad a little bit for Thomas, because I think if you or I were in there, we probably would have been doing the same thing.
Right.
And now throughout all the ages, Thomas is known as the doubter, but anyway, he doubts. And then, but when he finally believes that Jesus is resurrected, he doesn't just say, "Oh man, you guys were right." He exclaims, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, "My Lord, my God." That made it in such an impression upon Thomas. So the guy who was struggling with doubts and everything, once he realized Jesus is alive, he's my God, he's my Lord.
Yeah.
And so I think that points us to how significant it is that Jesus rose from the dead. And there's one other thing that comes to mind, and that is that, you know, to say that Jesus rose from the dead and to believe that's a religious claim, but it's also a historical claim.
Right.
And so it takes the Christianity and the belief into just some of those, you know, out of that moral therapeutic deism, as some people call, and actually says, no, this is historic fact.
Right.
That happened, and it changed really history.
Yeah.
And so I think it's crucial that Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, his reputation may have lived on, but I don't think it would have lived on in the way that it has if he didn't rise from the dead. I mean, there was plenty of other people who claimed to be Messiah.
Yeah.
And who were stoned and who died, and you know, we don't know a ton about their teachings, but the world knows about Jesus. So yeah, it's huge.
You know, I think there are also some, if this is a true statement that Jesus rose from the dead, there are some huge implications. And I think the biggest implication is that now this moves beyond just a mere teaching or a philosophy, beyond that of something like Confucius or Voltaire or whatever philosopher you want to name. Now this has implications on me. If I reject this man, people don't rise up from the dead. You know, it's not just a something that happens every day. If this man did what he said he did, then I have to accept him as God, as something that's not just a human, someone who's just smart or someone who is just really gifted, but this man is God.
And it's important to recognize that he rose from the dead on his own power.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like Lazarus, who he rose from the dead, but that was an external force giving him life again.
Right.
Jesus did this on his own power.
Yeah.
That's significant to contemplate.
Yeah, so now I have to, if this man is God, now his claims and his teachings, wow, that mm-hmm. now is on me. I have to follow this.
Exactly.
I have to do this, as opposed to something I could just reject as, I don't like that. It's not my brand.
Right. There's accountability there. You're forced to do something with this person called Jesus. You have to make a decision about him, whether you're going to choose to believe in him or you're going to choose to reject him. And the fact that he rose from the dead means that if you do reject him, you're rejecting deity.
Right.
You're rejecting the God himself.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why this was the main message of the apostles. As you look at the book of Acts, since Jesus ascends into heaven, and really throughout the epistles, when the gospel is presented, it's not just a matter of, you know, four spiritual laws or here's God's wonderful plan for your life, but the resurrection takes a center role in all of that. 1 Corinthians 15, Jeremy, you mentioned one of the things that in our first question about the historicity of this. And here's Paul saying, listen, you saw this and there are witnesses to this. You saw this with your own eyes. And that seemed to be not just the death and the burial and resurrection, but people saw this. There are people who Paul are talking, who's talking to. So I guess the question I have for you then is, why does it seem like in many churches we have this whole gospel-centered movement now, but the resurrection sometimes isn't a part of that. We have that, that's an Easter message. So why don't we emphasize that more?
Partly I think it's because it's assumed. I think there's a lot of assumptions that take place in the preaching calendar. I think that there's assumed knowledge that we pastors often make. But I would argue that true biblical preaching always has to end up at the cross and at Jesus and that he rose again. You and I have talked previously about the importance of the Lord's Supper.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I actually like it when churches have the Lord's Supper every Sunday, because as I communicate that to people, I say that the Lord's Supper gives a landing strip to every sermon.
Right.
Every sermon can come back to that, and then it gives hope. And that's the important thing of the resurrection, is it gives hope. And so even if it's a message about how we're sinners and we need to repent, when we look at the fact that Jesus died and then he rose again, that gives hope. It gives hope that he conquered something. You know, to go back to that 1 Corinthians 15 passage, you know, he says in verse 55, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The ultimate punishment, or the ultimate consequence is probably a better word, of the curse, of the result of sin entering the world, is death. We see that Romans. We see that death came into the world because of sin, and it was unnatural. It wasn't. We weren't intended for that, but that's the ultimate consequence of sin. And here, Jesus, in the resurrection, he conquers that, and he says that now you have hope. And so why churches don't emphasize it more, I don't know. I think, again, there's probably some assumptions that people know that, and maybe there's a misguided notion that we need to move on to more practical things.
Yeah.
But I think we do that to our peril. I think we've got to come back to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That gives me comfort, because again it says that in right before in verse 55 there says death is swallowed up in victory. There's victory for the Christian, and that's not by us trying harder, that's not us by getting more disciplined and making lots of resolutions and things like that, although there's nothing wrong with being more disciplined and things like that, but it's we need to go back to the cross and say, how is it that I can overcome this sin? And so I'm struggling with lust, or I'm struggling with pornography, or I'm struggling with anger, or I'm struggling with lying, I'm struggling with not being a present father to my kids, or whatever sins that we're struggling with that Christians, these are sins that Christians struggle with. We can go back and say, there's hope that I can overcome that sin. And not because I'll just get better, not because I'll try harder, or all of a sudden I'm just going to flip a switch and I'm going to be a super dad, or I'm going to have complete control over my anger. No, it's because Jesus rose from the dead, and he conquered sin, and he gives the ability to his followers to follow that. All of his righteousness is put on our account, and therefore this says we're no longer slaves to sin, like Paul says in Romans. And so I think it's crucial that churches do emphasize this. And I think that it probably does happen. It just doesn't use as clear terminology as maybe we should. But it's very important that we end, I think, every sermon, every service needs to have some type of awareness that the hope is Jesus.
Yeah.
The hope is Jesus. That and if we don't get back to Jesus somehow, I think we've missed it. I think as pastors particularly, we haven't done our job in leading the people that God has put into our care to lovingly guide and direct. I think that if we haven't directed them to Jesus during that hour and 15, hour and 30 minutes, or whatever you have together, Man, if I get done with a Sunday sermon and I don't feel like I've made Jesus clear to people, I just feel like I've failed. It doesn't matter how great of an outline or how illustrations, awesome illustrations I used or what media I used in the sermon or anything like that. If people don't see Jesus more, then I failed. Right. Because it's the hope of the resurrection. He's the one that gives us victory, and so we can say, hey, every part of the apostles' message, every part of the church needs to be focused on this, because that's what gave them hope. And it shows that there's no enemy too great. If Jesus conquered death, then if he could conquer death, then what enemy then am I going to face, including my own sin, that would be too great for Jesus? And, of course, the answer is nothing.
Yeah, 1 Peter 1:3, as reading this morning, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you." So, yeah, Christ is our living hope because of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And even a step further than that, our future is forever settled. Our final dwelling place is secured, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, as we talked about before, he is the first fruits. And so because of his resurrection, we have a home in heaven awaiting for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and as I've been contemplating this, this resurrection, this Easter season this year, the Lord's just brought several things in my life and in recent days to kind of direct my thoughts in a little different way. But one of the things I've been meditating on is that future hope. And here's what I think about that is that, you know, we know from, again, Paul's writings that the entire earth is groaning to be renewed, to be resurrected, if you will. The earth has a curse on it. Everything that we look around us, as beautiful it is, I'm always amazed by that, because I'm often taken by the beauty of this world. You go to some magnificent places in this world, and you just be, you know, I think Piper's the one who said, you know, no one goes to the Grand Canyon and walks away thinking bigger about themselves. Right. You know, it's they're just in awe of what God has done. But then I love to take that in and worship God in that moment. But I always like just to take a step back then to say, and what I'm looking at is cursed. And what I'm looking at is not fully there. And it's groaning to be renewed and to be restored or to be resurrected, I think we could even say. And so all of us, resurrection is what we all need. We all need our longing for this freedom. We have this victory in Christ. Yes, we are walking by faith. Yes, we have the Spirit of God indwelling inside us. But as you know, as Paul wrote again in Romans about this struggle with this indwelling sin that we all will bear until Jesus comes back or until we're resurrected. And so as I look at the resurrection of Jesus and I see him in his eternal state, I see him ascend into heaven, I see him at the right hand of the Father. In the book of Acts, I see him interacting with people in miraculous ways. And I see that this hope and this promise that one day my body will be free from the decay that it's experiencing. One day my limitations and everything will be taken away. I don't know if you saw it recently. There was a video going around on social media about a guy, an older gentleman, who his family for a birthday gift gave him special glasses to enable him to see color for the first time. He's colorblind. And he puts these glasses on and immediately just breaks down in tears. Because for the first time he saw color. And for the first time he just saw and he had to take them off right away. It was overwhelming to him. And then he puts them back on, and you know, he had his favorite football team hat on. And someone said, "Look at your hat." And for the first time, he saw the logo of his his favorite football team in full color, and he had a big smile, and he was his breath was taken away. And as I watched this, and I'm amazed at technology that enabled him to see this, I just thought to myself, man, what is it going to be like for us when we are resurrected and we have a resurrected body to, like Jesus, and to be free from the curse that of sin that we're dealing with? Man, I don't know what that's going to be like. All I know is it's going to be breathtaking and it's going to be very worshipful. So as I look at, okay, this future hope that the resurrection says, the limitations that I am dealing with day in and day out, and as a pastor, as I go to the hospitals and I deal with people and talk with people who are dealing with cancer and dealing with miscarriages and dealing with, you know, all sorts of things that as a result of the body just decaying, man, I can't wait. It just gives me hope that one day Jesus is coming back and he's going to set all things right, because he did it already. He did it. And so he's going to do it for us.
All right, well, we are out of time, and thanks, Jeremy, for joining us. Yeah. I've got one last question I didn't tell you about.
Yeah.
One of the changes in our format since the last time you've been on is at the end of our program, we ask a random question that has nothing to do with anything we've been talking about thus far. So,
okay.
Are you ready for just a random question?
Go for it.
All right, well, this is going to be completely random because we're talking about Easter, and I got to ask, favorite Easter candy?
Oh, favorite Easter candy. You know, to be honest, I have not had Easter candy in a long time, but I would probably have to say, and I don't even know what they're called, but they're like the, man, they're like those little, this is, you're going to say, well, this is everything, but they're like a chocolate-filled egg with like a candy coating on the outside. They're crunchy on the outside, but
like a really Cadbury soft egg.
Yeah, kind of, but it's but not the one that has like the gooey stuff on the inside.
No, okay, because that would be the correct answer to this question is Cadbury egg.
Okay, the Cadbury. Yeah, but, I mean, they're okay. I just don't buy into the hype. You know, I think they're okay, but
not hype. This isn't like Michigan football. This isn't hype. this is like something real. intangible, but okay, I guess we're going to have to disagree on that, but
okay.
Anyway.
So apparently that's your favorite. That's your favorite.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's the correct answer. But,
okay.
All right. Well, Jeremy, thanks for listening. And, we'll have you back on, you know, in a couple more years when the damage from this podcast is settled.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been a privilege to talk with you.
And thank you all for listening this week. And we'll be back next week. Hopefully next week. It's been hectic, but I think we've got a number of good podcasts actually scheduled and ready to go. We've been recording. This has been my Easter break at school, so we've been recording more interviews. We've got a lot more recorded, edited, and ready to go. So hopefully next week we'll be talking about Star Trek, actually. But tune in next week for that. Until then, make sure you check out the website, www.kevinjthompson.info. That's my blog, and you can also check us out on Twitter at Kevin J. Thompson, and I'll also have links on the blog to our Instagram account, our Facebook account. I think I might do some Facebook live events with our Gospel Points Facebook. So go ahead and rate us on iTunes. Go ahead, tweet us out on Twitter, and post about us on Facebook, all that fun stuff. That'll help get the word out about the Gospel Points podcast. So until next week, have a great rest of your week.